connection.
Erev Tov, Rabotai. Have a wonderful, I wish you all a wonderful and constructive, fulfilling and fruitful Zman, Bezat Hashem. I don't even know what to call it, semester's Zman, but you know, yeah, whatever. So, Mikol Makom, it's a pleasure to see many of you in Eretz Yisrael, and even those who I didn't, were back here now, so kind of have to bring Eretz Yisrael back with us. It always stays there. It's funny, when I went this time, so every time I go, just, you know, it's Derech Eretz, I ask my daughters what they want me to bring back for them. Present, whatever. So my oldest daughter said she wants me to bring her back a rock. I said, what kind of rock? She said, the prettiest rock that you can find in Eretz Yisrael. She asked me if I'm allowed to take rocks from the Kotel, and I said, no. No, really, it's brought down the poskim. You're not allowed to be notet. It's Yisur Torah. But, so I said, what kind of rock would you like? It's a pretty smooth rock. I said, why do you want a rock? I said, because it's not a rock. It's a rock from Eretz Yisrael. It's a big zach. It's a big zach. I got her a bracelet, but she wanted a rock. I'll start off with a story, another story, and then we'll get to the meat and potatoes. Maran Zichrono Bracha. I don't know exactly why it was, but my friend Agaon Rabbi Yaakov Sasson, whose mother was Chaim Avadia's daughter, his mother Rabbanit Malka was Chaim Avadia's daughter. I'm not sure why it was, maybe at the babysitter, whatever it was, but she used to go with him, used to give about 7 shiurim on Shabbat afternoon. Used to go shul hopping in Yerushalayim.
This is
Rav Zichrono Bracha. Used to, in his younger years, so he used to give shiurim in Musayov and a bunch of the other, in the Yazdim and other at Sofia of other shuls in Shkunat Bukharim in that area. And he used to take along his, she was 9 years old at the time, Rabbanit Malka. So she used to come along, and she used to sit in the Zeth Hashim, and he used to tell her, because, you know, how much can a girl, you know, he was giving shiurim ba'alacha, it's very deep stuff. So how is he going to keep her occupied? He says, listen, after every shiur, Maran Zichrono Bracha didn't recycle. He never recycled. Always gave new shiurim and whatever. So he says, every time I give a shiur, at the end of the shiur, I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to quiz you on the shiur. After X amount of Shabbatot, if you do well in the quizzes, I'm going to buy you a piece of jewelry. I'm going to buy you a ring. The kachava, every time she was 9 years old, and she used to sit in the Ezrat Nashim, you know which women used to come? Chaim Ben Tzion's mother used to come to the shiurim of Maran Zichrono Bracha. The Rabbanit, Rabbi Mordechai Sharabi, his wife used to come to the shiurim. So she used to sit in the Ezel Nashim with her and used to quiz her. And at the end, he bought her a ring. At the end of, I don't know how many Shabbatot, whatever, a few months later, he bought her a ring. He engraved her name into it, Malka. And she still has the ring today. So my friend actually showed it to me, his mother's ring, that he bought for her when she did that. Anyway, it's a nice thing. She didn't ask for a rock. Anyway, there was a, whatever. There was a request that was put in for this week's series, which is, it's a topic that comes up a lot. It can happen to Sfaradim or Ashkenazim, but interestingly enough, it seems to be more prevalent among Sfaradim, which is, many times we find ourselves invited out. Now, we've spoken about, you know, eating out, as in restaurants and, you know, commercial settings a lot. I'm going to veer away from that now. We're going to talk about more private settings, but eating out in terms of family members and other people, you know, family, friends, things like that, in a private home. But not always are you able to ascertain exactly the level of kashrut that you would want. Now, I'm not talking about nevelot utrefot here, because that's non-negotiable, obviously. We're talking about certain standards. And even if, now, question becomes, many situations where you are invited out to such family members, friends, acquaintances, what have you. And there are situations where, let's assume for a second, you should never really relinquish your standards or go down. But there are certain situations that allow, like we've spoken about in the past, that allow for momentarily lowering your standards. Question becomes, what happens in those situations? Are you able to believe everything they tell you? You know, one of the most important things in halakha is ne'emanut. Ne'emanut. Believability. Trustworthiness. That's a responsibility. Trust has to be built. You're not born with trust. You know that. You have to build, you have to earn your trust. And it's like that in any, you know, any facet of life, and especially in halakha. So the question becomes, how do I know if and when I'm allowed to believe somebody, if they tell me? Do I have to ask questions? What kind of questions do I have to ask? Now, this is more of a broad question. I'm not talking about, we've spoken about Bet Yosef and Halav Yisai and Pat Yisrael and Yashan. I still owe you a series on that, but that's more intense. So this is a request. I'm dealing with it. What happens, you know, for lack of a better term, what about women? Are women believed for all of the, you know, many times, men, but women especially, sometimes they're not as proficient. Many times women are more proficient in halakha than men. And that's sometimes a sad reality for Bachurim, even when they make it through the yeshiva system. Maran Zichron Berachah always used to say, and I tell this to Bachurim all the time, you must, no matter what, be kovea zman, you have to have a solid seder in halakha, come what may. You have all your others, that's wonderful. You make time for everything else. Halakha is not extracurricular. Halakha is curricular. You need to have a solid seder in halakha. Now again,
what does solid mean?
That's relative, subjective. It means different things for different people. And you know, I've met with several of you privately to help incorporate a solid seder halakha into your schedules. But the point is, you need to have a solid seder halakha, because don't think that you're going to go through yeshiva and then you never really graduate from yeshiva, but move on and get married and build a life and whatever. Okay, I made it through the yeshiva system, so I'm proficient in halakha. That's fake news. And then you can go through a nice number of masachtot and gain a lot of knowledge in Shas and the Talmudic, you know, the Talmudic process and Lamdus, which is all very, very important in the larger scale. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have any knowledge whatsoever, even basic in halakha. You don't know how many people I speak to. Just zero halakha skills. And right now, it might not be such a nafkamina, even though it should be. But you're in a yeshiva, you can ask a rebbeim, you can ask a rabbanim, you can look it up. You're in a, we'll call it a controlled environment. You're in a controlled environment where, you know, it's still not the end of the world. But after you get married, like the Pasuk says in Megillat Esther, liyot kol ish sorer beveto, to a certain extent, everybody is the authority, both, you know, you're an authority financially, you're an authority morally, ethically, parentally, not maritally because you're both on the same side, but halachically, you're also a kind of halachic authority in your home. Now again, every time a shaila arises, okay, you can call here, you can call there, you can look it up, that's fine. But there are certain situations that arise that you have to be just at least minimally fluent in these halachot, so that you know how to feel them. What happens if it's a Shabbat or a Yom Tov and it's in the middle of the night and you can't run to the Rav and a shaila happens right now? You have to warm the baby's bottle. How do I do that? Can I put it on the plata? What do I do? Very basic things. Shabbat, Mo'adim, huh? Well, right now we're talking about ne'emanut in halakha, believability in different, in less than optimal situations. As you probably noticed by now, my halakha shiurim tend to focus on situations that are less than optimal. You know why? Because you don't need me to teach you about optimal situations. Because life ain't optimal. Remember that. Life is anything but optimal. Remember what I told you about 80% of Shulchan Aruch is what? Bidi Avads. What does bidiavad mean? Bidiavad means you're already in a less than optimal situation. And you have to know how to deal with it. Judaism is all about bidiavad. That's what happens. So now, many people, I know, that Baruch Hashem, many girls, lama ura, tell them, chayeh, I don't like that. It's instinctive. I'm not a scary guy, tell them. They don't know me so well.
I know you.
Do I come off as scary? Intimidating?
Of course, habit.
Okay. Nobody should ever flee. You only flee from the Yetzer Hara. Over here, you come, benachat, even. Don't join the shir. Tavo, tagit shalom, smile, vizeh. Just come say shalom, zekon. Now, anyway, Tommy's invited back. Anyway, mikol makom. You know who does it the best?
Amit.
He's the best. Kacha. Bye, mashalom. Yeah, now, bekitzul, you know that, Rabotai, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gadol hamalbin chavero, shinaim lachavero, yoter mimashkeh uchalav. It's greater is one who smiles at a friend than even somebody who gives him milk. It's a pasuk. Shneimar chachlili einayim inayin ulven shinayim mechalav. Smile is a big thing. To say shalom aleichem b'sever panim efot, it's a big thing. A lot of people in this life are melancholy and morose. You know, they go through life like that. Life is a tough place. I'm not saying it's not. Life is tough. But you know something? You're not carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. You're carrying your own weight on your shoulders, but not the weight of the world. There's always people out there with bigger problems. Now again, that might not be such a nechama, because many times people have big problems. But you know something? Smiling is it's an expression of the neshama. It shows shalvat nefesh. If you're able to smile, there's a whole section in Chovot HaLevavot about smiling. Smiling in spite of our tzarot. Smiling and being nice to people in spite of our tzarot, which is not always easy. But if you're able to do that, that is a supreme exhibition of emunah. You know that? When you show that. When you smile to a person, when you're able to connect to a person in spite of your own problems, that shows I'm able to disconnect from my own problems because there's somebody else who's running them. If I'm not able to crack a smile, that means that what? The weight of my problem is solely on me. I can't disconnect from it for a moment, because if I do, it's going to implode. It's a complete lack of bitachon. You ever thought of it like that? Smiley people exhibit bitachon. Morose people, sour pusses, it's a lack of bitachon. Most people don't connect it. Chovot HaLevavot Meforash, Rabbi Mechaye says it. Anyway, so you got to know halacha. You got to smile, and you also have to know halacha. And when you learn halacha, you have to smile. Yeah? Many times when guys get married and they've been through the yeshiva system, Baruch Hashem, girls go through, many of them go to seminaries here and at Sen, whatever it is. Now in seminaries, many of them do a very good job in teaching not only Ashkafa, but they teach them, you know, halachot, because they know they're going on to marriage and they have to know ABCs of Kashrut and Shabbat and Tahara and things like that, just to run a Jewish household. It can happen. Now, you have to know, halakha issues come up many times every single day of your life. What do you think, that stops when you get married? It only gets compounded when you get married. More shilas happen. More intense shilas come up. Now again, many times you can ask. You're not expected necessarily to be posek and know everything at all times. That's okay. We are expected to know the basics. And sometimes, if a person doesn't know, you know, simple hilchot bishul shabbat, bishul, borer, tochen, yeah, simple things, kashrut, basar b'chalav, simple things that come up every day. What do you do with this? What do you do with that? What do you do with, if you only have one sink in the house? What do you do if a little bit of this spilled on that? Simple things. And you don't know, that's bad enough. If she knows, if your wife knows and you don't know, that's a busha v'chirpa. That's busha mamash. Busha, and I see it happen all the time. Is it a busha? It's a busha. Would you spend... Now, you can't really explain to them Gemara, Rashi, and Tesvis, and you know, Lamdis, whatever. Lamdus has to be a means to an end. Lamdus is a way to sharpen your mind so that you're able to get to the bottom line of the halakha. So you're able to be poseka halakha. Kilchata, that's what lamdus helps you do. But don't get lost in the maze. You enter the maze in order to come out stronger. Don't get lost. Verstay? What do you want to ask?
Any recommendations?
For?
Sfarim on halakha. Exactly. See, people say, you got to know halakha. Okay, where do you start?
Start from the basics.
Like?
Tur Bet Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah. How's that? Now, start cracking. It's a big Torah out there. Now, back to the issue at hand. These things happen a lot. And guess what? It happens more when you get married. Now again, I'm not here to give you marriage courses. I'm here to teach you about Torah. Torah is life. Life happens. If you think this happens now, when you get married, it happens even more. You have your family. You have your wife's family. You got to go visit this one. You got to go say Mazel Tov to that one. You got to go, for Shabbat to this one, especially Shana Rishona. Ooh, everybody wants to host you, and you go here, and you go there, and you go here, and you go, hello. Now again, best case scenario is that everybody shomer Torah mitzvot, and everybody keeps mehadrin, and everybody keeps all the best standards of kashrut, and that's the best. Doesn't always happen. So now what? When do we employ ne'emanut, and when do we pull the plug on ne'emanut? What are the fundamentals for this law? There's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch, Yoreh De'ah, about ne'emanut. And we're going to learn it b'ezrat Hashem. Yeah, not the whole thing, but at least snippets. It starts, a very interesting sugya. Anybody here ever learned Gittin? Very first sugya in Masechet Gittin is about ne'emanut. The Mishnah tells us that Hamavi get mim denat hayam, tzarich lomar, b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. The Gemara over there discusses why it is, there's a machloket amoraim, rabba and rava, lefi she'en bekein nishma, or lefi she'en edim tzuen lekaimu. What's the difference? Now, the Gemara brings down, as we're bringing it like this, listen to this. Ul rabba da'ama lefi she'en bekein nishma, liv itre, mide da'ava, kol eduyot sheba Torah. According to Rabba, Rabba's issue, now again, I'm not going to get into this, I don't know when the yeshiva is learning Gittin next, but
the last
year, okay. So, what's next year? Yeah?
Yes, first
pair. Is there a cycle or it's...
Yeah.
There is? Okay. Okay. So, Mikol Makom, listen carefully. The Gemara says, according to Rabba, Rabba says that the reason why when you bring the get, you have to say, b'fana nechtam, is because l'fishen bekein nishma. So why is one ed ne'eman, the shaliach, who's considered one ed, is ne'eman to say, b'fana nechtam? If that's the case, if you need edut, so why don't we require two edim to say b'fana nechtam? Nobody says two. Everybody says one. The question is why? But everybody agrees it's one. To which the Gemara answers, ed echad ne'eman b'isurin. One ed, one witness is ne'eman by any isurin. To tell you asur mutar. To which the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Emur de'amrinan ed echad ne'eman b'isurin kegon chaticha safek shel chelev, safek shel shuman, de'la itchazek isura. Aval hecha de'itchazek isura de'eshet ish aved eva shebrava, men eva shebrava pachot mishnayim. To which the Gemara says, rov bekinin. The Gemara says, hey, wait a second. When do we say ed echad ne'eman b'isurin? That's only by when there's a safek. Let's say there's a piece in front of you and you don't know if it's chelev or shuman. Chelev is asur, shuman is mutar. You're not sure. There's no chizkat isur. It was never itchazek. It's only in safek. The edechad is ne'eman to come and say it's mutar because it was only in safek mode. But once you have something that's vaday isur, to have one ed come and completely be matir something that was already mitchazek be isur, that's asur. To which when I answer is no, rov bekin. Most people who write gitin are baki. There's a very, very fundamental tosvot on the sugya. They have to know for shas. Because this is the basics of all dinei ne'emanut. Listen to this. Says Tosfot. Ed echad ne'eman b'isurin. Listen carefully. Says Tosfot. Piresh akuntres. I'm reading to you verbatim because you need to know these yesodot in order to appreciate the halacha. I gotta watch. I gotta watch. No. It took me 6 months, but I gotta watch. Yeah. Instinctively, I always grew up with the watch. I'm very, if you know me, every
meticulous time. Not Persian.
Huh?
Not Persian with the time.
I make Yekas look bad. You know what I'm saying? It's such a very, very precise. Because, you know, in the Welt they say time is money and money is time. Time is life. Every second that passes by, Allah. You'll never get it back ever. Every single second is precious. Use it wisely. Use it for things that you won't regret. Even if it's not for learning. You can't be learning every second. We spoke about this also. The Gemara says that Rav Chasda was learning every second. It's a different story. But even if you're not learning every second, make sure that you're not using your time for things that you're going to regret in the past. Because you can't get those seconds back. And even when you do tshuva, and you're mitkaper, those seconds still don't come back. You understand? That's something that's irreversible. Once you burn time, in America there's a term, it's called killing time. You ever heard that? Killing time? It's exactly what it is. You kill time, it's murdered. It can never come back. It's dead. There's not even tchiyat ha-metim on time. There's tchiyat ha-metim on people. There's not tchiyat ha-metim on time. Shamata? Meduyak me'od. I'm not telling you have to be, but make sure everything's mesudara. The yesod ta'atzlacha in everything in life, hen ba-Torah, hen ba-Ruchaniyut, hen ba-Gashmiyut, whether it's Torah, lehavdin, work, marriage, skill building, whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, time management. Be makpid bazmanim. The most, I want to see if somebody sent it to me once. There was a commencement ceremony at some naval academy. I don't think it was West Point. I think it was some like very chashuv, prestigious military academy. And the admiral gets up. There was a very high-ranking officer. And he told his officers, every single day, the first thing you do when you wake up, he says in the military, they're very makpid. He says, you want to know why we're makpid? That the soldiers make their bed every day. That's the first thing they make them do. They have to make their bed. You know why? We want the soldiers to start off doing something productive and starting off their day with a success. As minuscule as it is, you made your bed, you did something productive. If you start your day with something productive, the rest of your day will follow suit. If you start your day in a non-productive way, you start your day by hitting snooze, the rest of the day will be snoozed as well. The rest of the day will also be put on hold or procrastinated or whatever. Maran said it best, Rabotai. Yidgaber ka'ari, Maran says, wake up like a lion. Don't hit snooze. If you feel the need to hit snooze, set your alarm clock to begin with 5 minutes later. It's a very bad habit to hit snooze. And that's a very small example. Wake up, take on the day. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you your neshama back, say modeh ani, jump out of bed. Slowly, but jump. It's very important. That really molds the rest of the day. Both in your Torah learning, in your tefillah, in your yirat shamayim, you see you're a successful person. I'm able to make a conscious decision to get out of bed. It's a huge zach. It paves the way. It could be dreary outside, whatever it is, but you wake up, you have already one atzlacha under your belt. Wake up, say modeh ani, make your bed, go to shacharit, netila. You're productive. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you another day. Hakarat HaTov. These are all things that impact the way our day goes. We're not in control of any atzlachot. The atzlachot all belong to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, if we do what we can, we're able to kind of chart our own destinies for that day, for that week, for that month, for that zman, for that year. It all has to do with the rhythm that we set. Understand? Back to Tosfos. Now, there's musar from halachot, there's halachot from musar, there's musar from musar, there's halacha from halacha. You see how the Torah is all intertwined? There's nothing that's not interconnected. Everything's connected. Says the Tosfos. Ed echad neiman beisurim.
פירש הקונטרס, שהרי האמין התורה כל אחד ואחד על הפרשת תרומה ושחיטה וניקור הגיד וחלב. The Torah, Rashi brings down, where do I know עד אחד נאמן ביסורים? Where do we learn it from in the Torah? Rashi says, we don't. There's no pasuk in the Torah that says עד אחד is נאמן ביסורים. But guess what? The Torah gives us certain commandments, especially when it has to do with dietary laws, with kashrut. הפרשת חלה, שחיטה, ניקור. How do you know it's kasher? Hashgachot is a relatively new invention of the past 100 years. You know that. It wasn't always like that. So, how do you know it had shechita? How do you know it had melicha? How do you know it had nikur? How do you know it had afrashat chala, trumot, ma'asrot? Whatever it is. Obviously, the Torah gave us, even without the pasuk, but the Torah gave a person believability to say, I did the shechita, I did the nikur, I did the melicha. Now, how do you know? Maybe he does not. That's a different story. He needs to have some sort of certification in shechita, in nikur. That's a different story. But as long as we, let's say we know he's already certified, he's already muhzak, he's known to be a shochet. He's known to, how do you know that the person sells you a pair of tefillin? I know it's kasher. Every time you buy a pair of tefillin, you crack it open, you check it yourself?
He's a
non-sofa. Oh, so he's telling you what? Either I checked it, or what? So I gave it to somebody else to check, and he's Neiman. Many, if not most of the things we do in Yahadut, rely heavily on this Neimanut. So now he says Tosfot, ולא היה לו להזכיר הפרשת תרומה ושחיטה, דהנו נאמן אף על גב דהתחזק איסורה. Huge. What did the Gemara say about עד אחד נאמן ואיסורין? Oh, you can't say עד אחד נאמן ואיסורין where the איסור was already מוחזק, where the איסור already took hold. Says Tosfot, Rashi's example of shechita and trumot u'ma'asrot are not good examples of these. You know why? Because over there, even though it's itchazek isura, you're still ne'eman. Where's the itchazek isura by shechita? Before an animal is slaughtered, what is it? Ever minachai. Isur deoraita. Which means, anytime you see old Betsy walking on the street, right before anything, it's an isur. Ever minachai. Shechita undoes the isur of Evi Minachai. Shechita undoes the isur of Nevelot Utrefot. What about Trumot Ma'asrot? Before Trumot Ma'asrot is taken, what's the status of the produce? Tevin. Tevin is isur. And yet, what do we see? Ed Echad is Ne'eman B'Isurin over there, even though in spite of what? The Itchazek Isura. So it says Tosfot, these examples that Rashi gave to Ed Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurin wouldn't fit the rubric that the Gemara is giving us, that Ed Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurin doesn't work by Itchazek Isura. Now he says, Af al gav d'itchazek Isura. So be'emet, now here's the question. Why is it that a person is able, why is it that Ed Echad is Ne'eman be'emet by Shechita? Why is Ed Echad Ne'eman by Truma? Why? Isn't it Itchazek Isura? Go ahead.
Because it's Biado at the time.
Says Tosfot, Mishum de biado letakena. That's exactly what Tosfot says. He says, since it's in your hand to fix it, which means, Truma, what are you saying? No, this is Tevin. So, okay. Believe me, it's kind of like amigo. Meaning that, believe me that I took off Truma, because even if not, what? No.
Take it off right now.
Biado letakena, I'll do it right now. What about Shechita? It's dead. Can't do Shechita now. Tosfot asks that too. What are you going to say about Shechita? Think. Watch this. V'ach yamar b'aish haraba, u'shechita, af al gav dehashta, in biyado letakeno, mi'ikara ya biyado lishchot. He says, even though right now the cow's dead, and you have to come on to believing me that I did Shechita, and you can't say, oh, because if not, let me shecht it again. Doesn't work. Elama says, Tosfot, what's pshat? You know why it works? Because it's biyado to have done shechita to begin with. What does that mean? What does that even mean? What does it mean it's in my hands to have done shechita to begin with? How does that help me now when it's dead?
You could have said that I did the shechita.
I am saying I did the shechita. I'm trying to sell you the meat, right? Or forget about selling. I'm trying to give you the meat. I'm telling you I did shechita. You want to believe me. Right now we're saying you shouldn't believe me because of Yitchazek Yisura. What am I telling you? In spite of Yitchazek Yisura, believe me because once upon a time, it was my hand to shecht it. How does that help you? Tachlis. But right now, Tachlis, I don't know what happened, and the animal's dead, and you can't do anything about it. It's incomparable to Terumot Ma'asrot. Terumot Ma'asrot, at this very moment, even if you don't believe me, here, look, I'll do it right now. But by Shechita, you don't have that option. So what do you... Otpam. Now he says... happy thoughts, people. Yeah? Positivity is so important. Simcha.
You have to put science as well. Please say hi when you pass through.
This, it's, you can't do that through Beit HaMidrash, you know that. Kapandareya. It's a shortcut. Over here, this room, even though it's used for Talmud Torah, it doesn't have Kedusha of Beit HaKnesset or Beit HaMidrash. So you let it cut through.
We pray here. Does that make a difference?
No. Because it wasn't built with Kedushat Beit HaMidrash. This is a room that holds tefillot occasionally, but it's not necessarily a room that was built with Kedushat Beit HaKnesset. There's a difference. Where did I find that? Siman? Aleph. Tov meod. Now, he says, Tov meod. Okay. Pretty good. Now, so he says like this, Abotai, get your simanim. Hold on to your... Lo chaval? No, be'emet.
I remember the gifal
fish. See?
Yeah.
What is that? What does that mean? Shrecha. It means it worked. That means the gefilte fish worked.
Yep.
If it stuck with you, that means what? That means it worked. You go through so many years in yeshiva, so many years, you learn so many things, Ashrechem v'Ashrechel Kechem. Lo chaval, that after all of those years, how many people, what sticks? Manish'al. Where's your Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Vasar, Yevamot, Ktubot, Gitin, Kiddushim? Huh?
Somewhere in the archives.
Hopefully. If there wasn't a, you know, reboot. Yeah. Hold on to it. Do something. Hold on to it. Make yourself simanim. Make yourself chazarot. Make yourself... Hold on to your learning. Be mechayev yourself. It doesn't have to be everything. Nobody's holding your feet to the fire to remember everything. That would be great. But at least hold on to something. Is it? Lo chaval? People... That's another thing. I see people. People from yeshiva that I see something. I went to yeshiva with. Talk to them in learning. Ki lo haya. Hamash. Like it never... Like it was a dream. Mamash klum, the borek and bomaim. Why? Because there's no chazara. No chazara, no ze. Do something to retain it. I'm not saying not everybody's massive geniuses, photographic memories, was it? But everybody has. Do me a favor. Everybody remembers what's most dear to them. Everybody remembers what they want to remember. Okay? Don't sell me luxury. Everybody remembers what they want to remember. You have a test. Now again, yes, people tend to purge the information right after the test. But in life, there's things that you need to know and want to know and love to know, and you retain that information. I had friends in elementary school. They could tell you every stat from every baseball player and football player and every team and trade from the 1970s. Mamash, you talk to people. Sometimes people say, I'm Aretz, I don't understand. And then you talk to them, and they know so much. They're holding. And so, what do you mean I'm Aretz? Why am I? They're holding in other issues. Elama, what does that show you?
That's interesting.
No. It's not that they don't like to learn. It's all a matter of priority. That's it. You love what you prioritize. You want to know where a person's focus is? Look what he prioritizes. Person prioritizes his work, his family, whatever. It's a big thing. Big thing in life. Now, says Toso Dek to Shrita. He says, Ushrita fal gav daha shtein biyado letakeno meikara ya biyado lishchot dim lo ken amai mehiman kevan dihitchazek yisura de lama tzinim shum makom sheitzterech begadol echad omed al gabav ומעשים בכל יום, די מהימן, אף על גב דלו שייך רוב מצוין אצל שחיטה מומחים הן, כגון שנחתך כל הראש, ואין בית השחיטה ניכר, in general, Tosfot says, the Gemara tells us in Chulin, that most people who engage in Shechita are mumchim. It's a rov, the Gemara says. But there are certain situations that kind of kill that rov. How so? If the entire head is severed, mumchim don't do that. Therefore what? When you look at that, there's no way to tell. You can't say it's rov mumchim because mumchim don't do that. So how do you know if the Shechita was kasher or not if you're not believing the guy? There are certain times where you can't fall back on that rov and you'll still have to believe him. So back to square one, how is it that we believe him with regards to Shechita in spite of the itchazek isura? Uma she'anu somchim al anashim b'shechita, af al pi she'en yod'ot hilchot Shechita, כיוון שבידה ללמוד לשחוט או להכשיר אחרים שישחטו לה, או להזכיר אחרים שישחטו לה כבידה דמה. Which means, Tosfot says, with regards to Shechita, the biado is that it was once biado. That gives you enough believability, even though it's not right now. The question is, what about women? You want to purchase, or a woman serves you meat. Yeah? Did you slaughter it? No. Okay. Where'd you get it from? I got it from somebody who slaughtered it. But do you know Hilchot Shechita? No. So how do I believe you? You didn't slaughter it. You're just telling me that you got it from somebody who did. So how do I believe you if you don't know Hilchot Shechita? Now, how many wives out there do you think know Hilchot Shechita? Huh? Very minimal. How many husbands do you know out there that eat their wives' cooking? That's says with Masim Cholion. How do you eat from a woman if she doesn't know Hilchot Shechita?
Because she will be able to go learn.
Or even if it's not be able to go learn it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. She can go hire somebody who did learn it and checked for her. So that makes it kibiyada. So this is a big thing. We already see Tosfot is now expanding, broadening the horizons of Ed Echad Ne'eman Bisurim to biado or biada, and expanding that biado biada not even to your own personal knowledge or your own personal actions, but to possibilities, things that you could do potentially that would also give you ne'emanut. We're going to Rezat Hashem tomorrow, back to lunch schedule, right? Yeah. 2:30? Not lunch, or after mincha. But we'll see in the halachot, how does that really impact ne'emanut in situations where ne'emanut can be called into question? Does this work only by Shomrei Torah Mitzvot? What about people who are not necessarily Shomrei Torah Mitzvot? Can we extend their ne'emanut based on biado? Biado lachzor b'tshuva? Biado... Where do we draw the line? Where do we draw the line? Bezat Hashem, we'll see these things and more things tomorrow, Bezat Hashem. Nice to see everybody back. We'll see you tomorrow, Bezat Hashem. Baruch Adonai.